Today, unfortunately for me, I am leaving Texas in my heart. I would have liked to spend the whole month of Kartik here, but I did commit myself to spending the last few days in California. And then His Holiness Chandramali Swami will be coming to stay with me. And then His Grace Mukunda Dutta Prabhu. I thought it appropriate to say something to you before I leave. And what I wanted to say was most perfectly and wonderfully expressed by His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj in what turned out to be among His last words, but they really express what I would want to say to you all. These words are recorded in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Volume 1, Lifetime in Preparation, chapter entitled, How Shall I Serve You? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta passed away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. Now, this is a very interesting statement because Srila Prabhupada always said that his Guru Maharaj passed away on the last day of December 1936. I believe that the reason for this apparent discrepancy is that Srila Prabhupada really adhered to the Vedic system and Vedic principles, and in the Vedic calculation or Vaishnav calculation, the day begins at sunrise and ends the following day at sunrise. Whereas in the Western calculation, the day begins just after midnight and ends at midnight. So I believe Srila Prabhupada left some time before sunrise on what had been the last day of December 1936. But after midnight would have been considered 1st of January 1937. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him, wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna, that's all." Amongst his last words to his disciples were, and this is what I wanted to say, "I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghuna, disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources." For each line, is like a sutra. It contains volumes of meaning. I advise all, not just one or two or a select few. I advise all to preach. If we have knowledge, we should distribute it. It's not meant to be kept within ourselves. It should be preached. It should be shared with others. Preach what? The teachings of Rupa Raghunath. As Srila Prabhupada explains, Rupa Raghunath is a short way of referring to the six Goswamis. Rupa, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Jiva Gopala, Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, all six. With all energy, we shouldn't hold anything back from this effort and resources. We shouldn't neglect any resources or hoard any resources. We should use all energy and resources to preach. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus of Sri Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswami. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. So this is how we preach. This is how we pursue our goal of becoming the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Rupa Raghunath, by working conjointly, cooperatively, under the guidance of our spiritual master. Here, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is addressing his disciples, but the same principle continues through parampara. We should work conjointly under our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our acharya, and his servants, representatives. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world. For we are in the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga, and we are very prone to quarrel. We see it everywhere. Within families, there's quarreling between husband and wife. Of course, that need not be taken very seriously. Chanakya Pandit said, don't take quarrels between husband and wife seriously, because at least in Vedic culture, there was never any question of divorce. So Prabhupada said, even if the woman went all over the village complaining about her husband, no one would take it seriously, because there's no divorce. Okay, let her let off some steam. And even if the husband went all over the village complaining about his wife, didn't take it seriously, because it'll pass. But still, when it comes to preaching and serving Krishna, You should live somehow or other, without any quarrel in this mortal world, Mrityaloka, place of death. We're all mortal, man is mortal, we all will die sooner or later, we don't know exactly when. Death is sure. So why should we waste time quarreling over petty things when in the end we're going to die anyway? Rather use our time for the service of the Lord. So you should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead. He's imploring his disciples, he's begging them. Please do not give up the service of Godhead. In spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. So when we preach or serve Krishna in any way, we face dangers, especially when we preach. But because there are dangers, it doesn't mean that we should give up our service. In fact, there's always danger in the material world. Whether we preach and serve Krishna or not. And knowing that there's danger at every step, and that we could die at any moment, it's better to use our time in serving Krishna rather than vainly trying to protect ourselves from dangers and criticisms and discomforts. There's one verse in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, that says that devotees are so satisfied in their service to the Lord that they don't mind any difficulty. The example is of a traveler, say the husband in a family leaves the home to earn money. So he may, in his endeavor to make money for the family, he may travel on oceans, he may climb up mountains, he may walk in jungles, but in spite of all discomforts, all difficulties, by thinking of his family members, that by his efforts they're getting money, his wife is able to buy food for their small child and buy clothing and send the child to school and buy the boy milk so that he can grow healthy and strong. and become well-educated and prepared for life. So thinking of his family members, the distress that he faces in all of his travels and efforts is mitigated. And when in the end he returns home, all sense of the miseries that he suffered along the way is completely forgotten, and he is fully satisfied at home. So the idea is that the devotee, he also goes out to preach, to serve the Lord, sometimes crossing oceans, sometimes climbing mountains, sometimes passing through jungles, all sorts of types of jungles, asphalt jungles as well. But while doing so, he's thinking of the Lord, that the Lord is pleased by his efforts. By thinking of the Lord's pleasure, his own distress is relieved. And in the end, when he goes back home, back to Godhead, then all the miseries he suffered along the way are completely forgotten. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura has realization of the results of dedicating one's life to preaching and serving the Lord. Therefore, in a very earnest and heartfelt way, he is imploring his disciples, do not, please, give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms. Devotees are always criticized, preachers are always criticized, and not only by non-devotees, they can be severely criticized by other devotees, which hurts even more. But even then, we don't give up the service of the Lord and the devotees. We don't give up the association of devotees. We tolerate. What else can we do? We have to tolerate. On one visit here on Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day, we discussed the pastime of Gadadhar Pandit and Vallabha Bhatta, and it's a long story that I need not describe in detail now, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had refused to meet Vallabha Bhatta because Vallabha Bhatta was very proud of his birth as a Brahmin and his position as a scholar. He thought that he was a greater scholar than the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami, and he thought that he could write a commentary that surpassed Sridhar Swami's commentary and improved upon it and corrected some mistakes in it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would never hear any literary work. Of course, there were so many Vaishnav poets and authors who wanted to present their works to him. But anyway, so generally they would present their works to Swarup Damodar Goswami, and if he was satisfied that the work was suitable, he would present it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in this case, Lord Chaitanya heard that Vallabha Bhatta had said that he had written a commentary that surpassed Sridhar Swami's. Now, in Sanskrit and other Indian languages, the word Swami, well, it means literally master, like Prabhu or master. And of course, it is a name for sannyasi, but in Vedic culture, there's so much respect between the husband and wife that the wife will not utter the husband's name directly. It would be too familiar. So she will may refer to him as Swami, as her Swami. So when Lord Chaitanya heard that Vallabha Bhatta was boasting that he had written a commentary that surpassed Sridhar Swami's, he replied, that any woman who is not faithful to her Swami, it's a play on words, her husband, or her Swami, is a prostitute. And how can I hear from a prostitute? So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu avoided hearing Vallabha Bhatta's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, there were many incidents, and in the end, Vallabha Bhatta became very disturbed, very discouraged, because he wanted to establish himself as a great scholar among the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever he tried to show his superiority, he was always defeated. So he, of course, he had the wrong mood, completely the wrong mood. Instead of wanting to be the humble servant of the servants of the servant, he was proud. He wanted to show that he was better than others. And on another occasion, he came into the assembly of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, and he said that, it is the duty of the wife not to speak the name of her husband. So Krishna is the only male, Purusha, we are all female, Prakriti, you're like Krishna's wives, yet you all are uttering Krishna's name directly. How is this a religious principle? He was sort of challenging the devotees, including Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya said, Lord Chaitanya is just nearby. Why don't we ask him? So they referred the matter to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya replied that the first duty of a chaste wife is to follow the instructions of her husband. And Krishna has instructed us to chant his holy name. Therefore, it is our religious duty to follow his instruction and chant his holy name. So in this way, every time Vallabha Bhatta tried to stump the devotees, he'd come up with these riddles, and he would always be defeated. He could never establish himself as being better than they were. So anyway, things finally came to the stage where Lord Chaitanya was completely neglecting Vallabha Bhatta. And naturally, because he was the leader, everyone followed his lead, and they also neglected Vallabha Bhatta. And Vallabha Bhatta felt very ashamed and humiliated. But he still wouldn't give up his false pride. So, in these circumstances, he approached Gadadhar Pandit. He felt that he's dying of shame. No one will listen to his commentaries. And so he began to spend time with Gadadhar Pandit and serve him and try to please him in so many ways. And ultimately wanted Gadadhar Pandit to hear his commentary. He also had his commentary on the holy name that Lord Chaitanya was not interested in. So, one day Vallabha Bhatta began to forcibly read his commentary to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit knew that if I listen to his commentary, he's going to go all over Jagannath Puri and advertise that I've listened to his commentary. I approve of his commentary. And then the news is going to reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees, and they're going to think, who is Gadadhar Pandit? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not hear Vallabha Bhatta's commentaries, but Gadadhar Pandit thinks he's more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can listen to his commentaries. But because Vallabha Bhatta was a respectable Brahmin and a senior person, Gadadhar Pandit found it difficult to stop him when he was forcibly reading his commentary to him. So within his heart, he prayed to the Lord that I'm in very difficult circumstances here. I cannot help myself. I cannot stop Vallabha Bhatta from reading his commentary. So you understand the situation. Please protect me. Then later, to just come to the point here, later Gadadhar Pandit commented that Lord Chaitanya is the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though outwardly Lord Chaitanya was neglecting Gadadhar Pandit because Gadadhar Pandit had entertained Vallabha Bhatta, but Gadadhar Pandit said, I know that he knows my heart, and it's not him that I'm worried about, but it's the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. They are very critical. So I'm making the point here in relation to this statement. Please do not give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. We would expect the criticism to come from demons, from atheists. But sometimes the criticism comes from devotees, and that can hurt more. But that was happening even 500 years ago among the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, they were very advanced souls, and the whole episode was concluded very nicely. But whatever it is, we have to persevere. We have to persevere. We can't give up because there's criticism. We can't give up our service, can't give up our efforts to practice and to preach. We can't give up the association of devotees. And all discomforts, well, we have to tolerate. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. So, okay, we summon up our courage, all our energy, all our resources. We work conjointly under the guidance of our spiritual master. We do everything we're supposed to do. And still people don't respond. They don't take interest. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't be disappointed. Most people in this world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Of course, we may only face that situation when we preach with a certain degree of purity and strength. We can sort of approach people in a kind of social way. And sometimes we have to do that to make them receptive to what we really want to say. So we may approach them in a way that's very easy for them to accept. You know, there's so many issues that concern people, so we can approach them on the basis of, you know, the environment, the ecology, vegetarian cooking, Vedic cooking, yoga. There are so many ways that we can find common ground with people and begin a conversation. But when it really comes to Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Braja, give up all your nonsense and surrender to Krishna, we may find that they don't really respond. So here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't be disappointed. Most people do not serve the personality of Godhead. In this world, do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. How easily we think of giving up our service. Oh, it's not such a big thing to give up my service. I mean, I have my husband, I have my children, I have my house, I have my car, I have so many things. But here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. In other words, that's all we really have in life, is our service. All these other things are of no significance. They're just temporary material arrangements that are going to vanish in course of time. They have no permanent existence. What all that you really have is your service, so don't under any circumstances give that up. Do not give up your own service. Which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, of the holy name of Godhead. So we shouldn't give up our service. And he says here, your own service. Sometimes you may think, oh, why do I have to do this service? I'll do someone else's service. Why does he get to do that service, or she? You know, I should do that service. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all, neither reject the process of chanting and hearing. So the two go side by side. We have to do service and at the same time chant and hear the holy name. Some devotees are nice. They like to do service, but they don't have taste for chanting. It's hard for them to chant. And then there are others, they're happy to chant, but they don't want to have to interact with people so much. They don't want to have to preach. And here Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, do not give up your service, and do not give up chanting and hearing. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree, and humbleness like a straw. So we often hear Chinadapi Sunichena Tararapi Sihishnana Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. I think that's very true of this community. Very true. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur concludes, we have no other desire whatsoever. Now the last statement can be taken in different ways. We have no other desire whatsoever, meaning he has no other desire for his disciples other than that they should work conjointly under the guidance of their spiritual master, preach the message of Rupa Raghunath with all energy and resources, maintain their service, and at the same time they're chanting and hearing. He has no other desire for them. And in a broader sense, he's saying we have no other desire as devotees. We have no other desire. As he said, you should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. We have no other desire whatsoever. Hare Krishna. So this was what I thought to share with you. Do any of you have any questions or comments? Mr. Bhagavan? Well, a preacher always has to gauge his audience and speak in a way that's appropriate for his audience. You know, what a person is ready to hear will vary from person to person, and the preacher's ability to present the truth in an appropriate way will vary from preacher to preacher. So, we do have to be sensitive to our audience and not speak in such a way that they become offended and reject Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we want to give them as much as they can hear, because otherwise, what's the point? It's like many devotees have the idea to be very indirect and build bridges, but then nobody ever brings them across the bridge. They build the bridge, but then they still stay on the far side of the bridge. They never come over to Krishna consciousness. So building bridges is good, but we also have to bring the people across the bridge, otherwise what's the use? But that requires effort, it requires skill, it requires patience, it requires a lot. But we have to do it. Why else are we here? What else are we here for? To do, make the effort. And I suppose you could say there are devotees who burn bridges by their reckless preaching, so-called preaching or fanatical preaching, that they could burn bridges, make it harder for people. So somehow we have to build bridges and bring people across the bridge. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prem Charu. A very good question. Sometimes we have so much service that we can't do it all. We can't do it all at once. So how do we know which to do first? Well, the same situation occurred with Mother Yashoda. She was nursing baby Krishna, and the milk on the fire began to boil over. So she set aside baby Krishna to tend to the milk on the fire. And baby Krishna became angry. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that everything in the household of Mother Yashoda was dedicated to the service of Krishna. But sometimes in the service of the Lord, one has to do some service first, and some other service later. And Srila Prabhupada says that the intelligence to know which service to do first and which service to do later comes from the Lord in the heart. Tesham satyata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. But of course, we might also get the intelligence to consult others who can guide us. So we can get guidance, from within the heart, from Krishna, if we have that qualification. Priti Purvakam, Satata Yuktanam, being fully engaged with Priti, with affection, or at least with faith. And we can get inspiration from the holy name, from the deities, from the devotees, from the spiritual master. And sometimes you might make a decision and there might be implications that you didn't consider at the time, and then you can readjust your course of action. As far as the second point, that we may have other motives. I mean, we may be doing service, but our motive may be to have some control over something. I mean, there could be so many motives. We may want control, we may want power, we may want prestige, we may want popularity. But we still continue with the process of attentive chanting and hearing, offenseless chanting and hearing, and we do service. But if you really serve with all energy and resources, I mean, where's the time and energy to enjoy the fruits of the work? Just so busy giving, 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 where there's no time, there's no opportunity to enjoy the fruits. Just keep pushing on, keep pushing on. Chanting, chanting, chanting. Serving, serving, serving. Donna Kaylee. You said quite a bit, and the idea that there were indications that Gurudev was not going to come back. And sometimes the way I speak, it's a little worrisome. I mean, yes. The fact is that we don't know how long we have. And although ultimately everything is in the hands of Krishna, but as you could say, in terms of statistical probability, as one gets older, one would presume that he has less time. Although one can never say how much time he has. Especially after Srila Gurudev left, I started to spend more time here. And at the time, I really wanted to support his disciples and projects. And I did establish, you know, some relationships with different people in different ways. But I do feel that although, you know, they're just the most wonderful devotees here, most special devotees, they have such good insights and realizations and sentiments. But I do feel that now the next step, you could say, is for them to sort of go beyond their normal limits and do more for others. And I felt I can't spend time in a place or with people unless there's some progress. And I felt that yeah, progress had been made, you know, the project's still going on, the devotees are still engaged in Krishna consciousness, you know, they've survived this traumatic loss. But still I felt now they have to do more. You know, they have to come out of themselves, of their families, of their homes, of their comfort zones. They really have to give more to the mission, to others. So I thought, you know, I don't really have a choice. I mean, if I want to spend time here, I don't have a choice. I have to see that the devotees are progressing. I felt that the next step for them, just beyond surviving the trauma and continuing, the next step is to really put out some good energy, some good intelligence, and do something for others. So I don't know what the result will be, but I'm going to make my best effort. And I have every intention to continue to visit periodically. And depend on Krishna. I mean, after this next few weeks in California, I'll be going to England and South Africa and returning in January. And then I'll definitely need some time to sort of rest and recuperate. You know, I haven't really worked out my schedule, but I think the earliest would be February and the latest, I don't know, March or April. I'll try my best. Rasa Rajpuru. Well, this is a big problem, big problem, because it's, you know, it seems to take more time and energy just to maintain a family now than it did before. You know, it's a very delicate issue about faith. Because we, you know, we want to serve, we want to preach, but at the same time we want to be practical because We do have our wives and children to maintain, and it's our duty to maintain them. And if we don't maintain them, and if there's problems in the household, then it'll be a bad example that will discourage others. You know, that's all there. And we have to do it. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, commenting on this idea, Kirtaniya Sadahari, says that doing normal things to keep your body and soul together so you can engage in kirtan and glorification of the Lord does not violate the principle of Kirtaniya Sadahari. But we really should use whatever time and energy we do have that's not required to keep the body and soul together for kirtan, for prachar. And I think devotees do have time. I mean, even, you know, big karmis, they have time to watch television, time to go to movies, they have time to go to restaurants, they have time to go on vacations. They have time for everything. So devotees also probably have time, but they may lack the inclination. They may lack the taste. And I can't even blame them, you know. You go out all day, you come back, you're tired, you're frustrated, you're hungry. And it just seems easier to turn on the television or the DVD player than to come to the temple and do kirtan and hear Bhagavad Gita. And then there's other things, not just going to work and earning this. You have to take care of the household, spend time with the family, do so many things. But ultimately there is a question of faith. There's the story when Lord Chaitanya noticed that Srivas Thakur was not making any effort to get any maintenance for his family. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him and said, Srivas Thakur, you don't go out. You don't even go out to beg alms. How are you going to live? You know, how are you going to maintain your household? And Srivas Thakur said, The first Lord Chaitanya asked, you know, what are you doing? And he said, well, I just can't do that. I just can't go out and do that. Then Lord Chaitanya said, well, then you should take sannyas. If you're not going to maintain your family, you should take sannyas. So I can't do that either. I'm not fit for that either. So then Lord Chaitanya said, well, then how are you going to maintain yourself? And then Srivas Thakur clapped his hands three times. Lord Chaitanya said, well, what does that mean? And Srivas Thakur replied, well, if Krishna doesn't provide food for me and my family for 3 days, I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. Then Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas Thakur, I am so pleased with you. You know, even if the goddess of fortune herself becomes a beggar, you and your family will never know scarcity or want. And then he quoted that verse, Yoga Kshemam Bhajamyaham, that Krishna says that he will personally provide whatever his devotee needs. So, it's a matter of faith. People say, well, you know, if I'm not on the level of Srivasa Thakur, you know, that may work for him, but it doesn't work for me. What works for me is working. And, well, you know, it's true that we're not on the level of Srivasa Thakur, but if we have faith, we're in the same process. And the more we increase our faith, the more we depend on Krishna, the more we do become advanced. You know, if you say, oh, I'm not advanced enough. Well, yeah, that's true. We should know our own position and act in an appropriate way. But at the same time, that can also be like a cover for sense gratification. You know, I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm not that advanced. I think I just have to eat and sleep and enjoy life. Just not that advanced. Just becomes an excuse. Becomes a cover for one's material desires. But we should always be pushing ourselves beyond our present limit. I mean, yeah, we can stay. Yeah, if there's been some major exertion, we might want to sort of rest and recuperate for a little while, but basically we should be pushing ourselves beyond our comfort zones. Always trying to do more, a little more chanting and hearing, a little more service, you know, a little less sense gratification, a little less wasting time. And it'll add up. I believe his question is that he's saying that he probably could do more, but there's no one on top of him to tell him he should do more. Yeah. That's a good point. It's good to have someone over us who can prod us to do more, and you know, who knows our situation and how much we can do. But in the absence of someone in that position above you, you know, you could a lot depends on your sincerity. Because like if you listen very carefully and very seriously to lectures or read books, you can get it, you know. I'm thinking of this one man. He was a real good friend of, he became a very good friend of Srila Prabhupada's, Mr. P.L. Sethi in Bombay. And the first time he met Srila Prabhupada, I guess Prabhupada knew what he was ready to hear. But anyway, the first time he met Srila Prabhupada asked him, what is your daily routine? He said, you know, I get up, I bathe, I have a cup of tea and some toast, I read the newspaper, I go to work, and he explained his daily routine. And Prabhupada said, and what is the difference between you and a pig? So, of course, you know, that's definitely going to confront one's false ego. There are other devotees who've had similar experience, but somehow Mr. Seti, you know, he thought about it, he said, yeah, that's true. What is the difference? What am I doing? I'm just wasting my life. So, I mean, it would be nice if we had so many like inspired, empowered leaders that in every community there was, I mean, the leaders here are very good, but like one person who would really, you know, inspire everyone, enliven them, guide them, direct them. But in the absence of that, Krishna's still there, the holy name is there, the scriptures are there, the deities are there, the association of devotees is there, and there are visits of senior devotees, and then you can also visit other temples, visit India. I mean, I believe somehow or other, you know, Krishna provides what we need. But sometimes we have to work harder because we don't have some support we might want. Anyway, I don't know. Let's try to do more. I mean, sometimes it works the other way. A devotee will be doing so much service that he neglects his family, and then there's problems at home, and then that also disturbs the service. It's a matter of balance, but we want to increase the proportion of direct service and at the same time bring our family members along with us. Like if they're also increasing their proportion of direct service, while you're increasing your proportion, then it's congenial. You're all advancing together. Yes. He's asking, how should we respond to criticism from devotees? Well, there's two variables. One is, what is the devotee's mood? Does the devotee want to help you improve, or does the devotee want to get you, bring you down? I mean, certain devotee might have that weakness. Then the other question is how appropriate is the criticism? Someone could be your well-wisher, but not really understand your situation that deeply, and therefore the advice might not be exactly correct. Someone could be, I mean, not against you, but someone could just be sort of angry or frustrated and come out with something that might actually be a valuable instruction. So it's always good to appreciate devotees. So, even if we question the person's mood or motives, but if the instruction has some value, we should take the value from it and appreciate the devotee for giving the instruction. And if someone is a, you know, sincere well-wisher and gives some advice but just doesn't understand your situation well enough to give the right guidance, you can appreciate they're trying to help. You know, we have the example of Lord Chaitanya when you know, when Madhavendra Puri was in his last days, he had a a disciple named Ramchandra Puri, who was, I guess he had impersonal tendencies, and he completely misunderstood his spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri was lamenting in the mood of Radharani and separation from Krishna when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. So he was lamenting, "Oh Krishna, you know, I cannot attain you." And Ramachandra Puri, because he was a latent impersonalist, he thought, "Oh, Guru Maharaj is lamenting. He should be fixed in Brahman. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati. Shouldn't lament or hanker." So he committed the offense of daring to instruct his spiritual master. And as a result, his spiritual master rebuked him. You know, he said, "Get out. I never want to see your face. And I'm already lamenting because I could not attain Krishna. And now this rascal is coming and speaking to me about Brahman. You know, I'm doubly unfortunate. So get out." So as a result of this offense, Ramchandra Puri became a critic of Vaishnavas. And in time, he came to Jagannath Puri. And his thing was, how much is everyone eating? He was like very particular to know how much everyone was eating, and whether they're eating too much. And he would even invite Vaishnavas and feed them, encourage them to eat more and more. And then when they ate more, he would criticize them. He would say, "Previously, I have heard that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya eat too much, and now I'm seeing it personally for myself." He even came to the point where he criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too much. And so Lord Chaitanya, you're asking how we deal with criticism. So Lord Chaitanya cut his eating in half. And then of course when he cut his eating, then all of the devotees cut their eating. And eventually because Paramananda Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, so he was the same generation as Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. So Lord Chaitanya respected him on the same level as his spiritual master. But another disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Paramananda Puri, he came and said to Lord Chaitanya that this Ramchandra Puri is just a critic of Vaishnavas. He just finds fault with Vaishnavas. And all of your devotees are in so much distress that you're not eating. As it is, you're already doing so many austerities and now you're hardly eating. So they're all in distress. Why do you bother for this person? You know, everyone knows his nature. Why do you even bother? Lord Chaitanya listened. He said, "He's my senior. You know, he's my well-wisher. He's giving me good advice." Just deflected it. And then eventually Ramchandra Puri left town and all the devotees were jubilant. "She's gone." Then Lord Chaitanya started to eat as usual. Then all the other devotees started to eat as usual and everyone was happy. So that's, there's just so many variables. You know, the person may not really be your well-wisher, and he may not give the right advice, but he may be in a position of respect, and for cultural reasons, we have to respect the person due to the, circumstances. Well, we should tolerate whatever it is. We should tolerate and continue, and we should think, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. Maybe I have something to learn here. Many Sankirtan devotees have reported that when they're distributing books, sometimes people on the street will tell them things, and they often feel Krishna is trying to tell them something through these people. Like one book distributor said, someone said, you seem to be interested only in money. You don't really seem to be interested in the people's spiritual lives. So the devotee thought, well, maybe Krishna's telling me something. I mean, maybe the criticism was overstated, but yeah, maybe I am forgetting that we're really here to give and not to just get money from people. So he tried to adjust his mentality. So it's always good to be introspective and humble and submissive and see whether Krishna's trying to tell us something. But after going through that process, you might conclude, I really thought about it and I could see why the person said what he said or what she said, but I've really searched my heart and I really feel that this is what Krishna wants me to do. And sometimes it's like Prabhupada said, the dogs will bark but the caravan will pass. So sometimes we go on anyway, even if there's criticism, if it's not criticism that will really be good for us to accept. Anyway. And just about, since we're talking, actually, after Lord Chaitanya reduced his eating, Ramachandra Puri criticized him for performing artificial austerities by eating too little. It's like you just couldn't win. You just couldn't win. You shouldn't eat too much or too little. You couldn't win. And it's like the story that Prabhupada told of the man and his son and their donkey. So, the father was elderly, and the donkey could really only carry one person. So, the father was riding on the donkey. So, some people began to criticize that, you're riding on the donkey and your young son is walking. He should be riding on the donkey. So, okay, the father got off and the son got on. And then other people began to criticize it. What is this? You're a young boy, you could be walking and you're making your aged father walk. So then they thought, this isn't working. So the father couldn't ride on the donkey, and the son couldn't ride on the donkey. So they thought, all right, well, we'll all walk on foot. We'll just walk along with the donkey. So then people began to criticize that, what kind of fools are you? You have a donkey and you're walking by foot. So they thought, oh my God, Well, the son can't ride on the donkey. The father can't ride. They can't go by foot. They said, all right, we'll both get on the donkey. So they both got on the donkey. And people said, how cruel can you people be? You're making that poor donkey carry both of you? You know, have some mercy. So then they really thought, well, there's only one alternative left. We carry the donkey. So Prabhupada gave that example that there's always going to be someone who will criticize you for something, and in the material world you can't satisfy everyone, and sometimes you just do your best, you know, according to your intelligence, according to the intelligence Krishna gives you, and go ahead. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Nitai Gaura Prema Nandi, Hare Hare Bol.